Hi there, my name is Neil Zeman. I started Team Foundation Consulting, a business in South Africa that works in the ALM sphere with a primary focus of TFS. I've actively been part of the VSTS Extensions Initiative of the ALM Rangers, building a bunch of extensions. Here are some guidelines and gotchas that I've experienced in my journey thus far. We are going to quickly look at where and how to find information, a couple of things that you should know or be aware of, and then finally, what do I do to differentiate between environments, and finally, how to publish, update manually and automatically via command line. Information. One of my previous jobs, I was in an exec meeting and the MD was asking questions that no one could give straight answers to. Finally, he proclaimed, "Information is power and I feel pretty powerless." So I'm going to start by having a brief look at where we can gain some power. First of all, MSDN documentation, or the documentation on visualstudio.com, is where I spend a lot of my time. This is a fairly comprehensive set of docs regarding extensions and it is continuously being kept up to date. First of all, you'll see the extensions heading here, an overview of extensions and what they are. Create your first extension. This is an overview of how to get started. The samples here, these are actually samples that Microsoft is updating and keeping updated. This is a good way to go and have a look and see how Microsoft is expecting us to use and interact with VSTS. Develop a bit more information and scenario overviews. These are basically samples on each of the contribution methods and points. Publish, this is where we see how to get your extension into VSTS. Listing on the marketplace is a good one to have a look at. These are all the steps to follow to be able to get your extension published publicly. You do not need to follow these steps to start creating extensions, but if you want to have your extension consumed publicly, you will need to go through these. Test and debug, just an overview of testing using the browser and setting up breakpoints in the browser, F12 developer tools. APIs, this is where you will spend most of your time trying to figure out how to break VSTS. Core client SDK, basically all the functions and actions that is available on the VSS object that is part of the SDK. Client services, you can use to perform some tasks, opening up a dialogue, navigating to another page, etc. Interestingly enough, this one with a really long name, which I think might be a problem or an error, is actually the smallest one and simply just opens up a work item to edit. REST clients, we have access to these in TypeScript via module loaders. So when we want to perform a specific task, we simply come over here, have a look at the module path with a quick example, and then we can see all the actions on that specific client. Here, for example, if you want to get work items or specific work items, this is where we would go and have a look and see what the contracts are. UI controls, some of the controls that we can consume as part of the SDK and use in our extensions. My advice is really to spend some time here and have a look at what is available and look at those examples as well. Now for some of the things that caught me and I think is important to know. First of all, when you start your brand new extension, you might get an error like this. When we go to the package task runner, a package command over here, and say run to package our brand new extension, there it starts out saying there's an error. As intuitive and explanatory as this is, I got stuck with it and finally had to go get hold of Josh, where he pointed me in the right direction. The problem is that Visual Studio comes with an early version of Node pre-installed. When you execute this, Visual Studio goes through a bunch of locations, finds the old version first, and then tries and executes it using that. No matter what you do to update Node, it will still give you this problem. Ironically, if you run this outside of Visual Studio, you don't get this issue. To fix this, simply go to your Tools, Options, Projects and Solutions, and External Web Tools, and move this path up so that it is first in line. If you have Web Essentials installed, you can simply click on your grunt file and say Configure External Tools. It'll take you to exactly the same space. And now, running this package command again. There. Done without any errors. Much better. Now that we are on the way to package our extension, we could start thinking about testing. I'm a big believer of unit tests. I rely on them heavily, and it really makes me nervous when I don't see any. I've been slacking, admittedly, with regards to unit testing in TypeScript environment, basically because I've had some hassles trying to get unit tests up and running for these extensions, more importantly in TypeScript. This was indeed quite a journey. Firstly, I use Chutzpah. Chutzpah is a very nice little plugin that is available from the Visual Studio Gallery. It plugs into Visual Studio, so it is actually going to go through and have a look for test cases and make them available in your Test Explorer over here. You can go on here as well and you can run them directly. In this case, you will notice that there is already a test case set up. It is, however, just a JavaScript file, so it's not a TypeScript file. And it uses Jasmine. Now, I prefer using Jasmine simply because this is the first one that I was able to get going. There are other libraries such as QUnit, Mocha, basically works on the same principle. Okay, so let's start writing our tests. First of all, I'm going to go and write a TypeScript unit test. And copy and paste some. This is simply just exporting a module TypeScript and then using the Jasmine's notation to create a test suite and create a test with an expectation. You will notice that if I build this, and you'll see by the squiggly lines, I'm actually getting compile errors here. So the first thing we need to do is go and get the TypeScript definitions for Jasmine. To do that, I use definitely typed, which is just a repository of TypeScript type definitions. We access it via command line tool called TSD. You should have it already available to you if you use the VSTS extension project that Josh has created for you. So simply see if it is available. We can say TSD and there we go. It is available to us. To install the Jasmine libraries, what I need to do is install Jasmine, and it will go and look through thousands of libraries, hopefully find the Jasmine definitions for us and bring them down and install them onto our project. There you go. It's found the Jasmine libraries. Now it goes and puts it under the typings folder. So I need to just show the files. There it is, and I can include this into our project. If I add a reference to it in our TypeScript test, you should notice that the compile errors are now sorted out. Okay, so we have our test and it compiles. So if we go and execute this now using Utspa, you should notice that we get an error and it's not finding any tests for us. What we now need to do is we need to tell Utspa how to resolve these tests and to load any references that we may or may not need. To do that, we have a Utspa config file that we put in the root of our project. In here, we specify stuff such as the framework that we're using, module loaders, that we are going to compile our TS files, and more specifically, that our tests are based in our TS files. So if I compile this and run the test now, you should see it's executing without an error, but it's still not picking up our tests. To fix this, because we are using module loaders, require JS in this case, we need to get those definitions down and tell Utspa about them as well. In normal operation in VSDS, we'll take care of those dependencies for us, but in this case, we are running outside of VSDS. In fact, we are running in PhantomJS, which is a headless webkit browser. We need to resolve those dependencies ourselves. To do that, we'll open up our package.json file and say we are using require.js, pick a version, save this. On saving, npm will kick in and start resolving those dependencies for us. And you'll see that it's found it and downloaded it. It goes and puts it into this node modules. There it is. Now we need to tell Utspa about that require.js. And to do that, we'll open up our Utspa config file and simply register this as one of the references. Going to our test now. We can run JS tests. You will see it's found one and it's passed. Okay, and you'll notice that Test Explorer is also showing it here. Now we can start adding some functionality that we can test. To do this, I'm going to add a new TypeScript file, call it greeter. Very extensive logic, and in here, just following the same notation, we'll say hi. We need to import that module or class. So to do that, we'll and we should be able to instantiate and call the methods on that instance. If I run all of these now, hopefully they will pass. And we have green. If our sneaky developer goes and makes a change here, and we run the tests again, you'll see it's failing, and it gives us an explanation as to why it's failing. So let's just fix this up, run this again. And there we're good to go. Now we have our project and we can write unit tests, and we are well on our way to causing some serious damage. Now we want to be able to run our extension while debugging it and stepping through the code before we get to actually releasing it into the world. One thing now that we need to be aware of is this base URI. This URI needs to be the URI specified in here, HTTPS, because VSTS will give you security exceptions if it's not an HTTPS URL. Because this is a web project, we have SSL enabled, and there is the environment. Now, what I can do now is, let me package this guy and go onto the marketplace. Publish extension and upload the extension. I have uploaded the extension, so it is available not publicly but to whomever I share it. I still now need to go and share it with the account that I'm going to be using to debug and test and play with. And then I need to go ahead and install it into that account. It'll ask me the mandatory questions and tell me how much access I'm going to allow this to have. And if I go to the account now, you will see there's our extension. If I click on this extension now, you'll notice it is failing. It's not loading it. That is simply because it is trying to load this from our local host. If I go back to Visual Studio and I run this guy, it will boot up an instance of IIS Express, which will be used to serve these files. It will, however, open up a default page, which does not mean much to us at this point in time. Because it won't be able to run any of the logic. If I go here though, and just get the developer tools up and reload this, you will see our extension and it's being executed. If I go back in here and put a breakpoint in here, you'll notice that it won't be hit because there's nothing, none of the symbols that were loaded for this. And if I go in here and refresh again, you will notice that that breakpoint is not in fact being hit, even though if we have a look here, it is serving these files from our local host. Now you can go and use the debugger within the F12 tools, put a breakpoint there, run it and refresh it, and it should hit that breakpoint, so we can have a look and see what is going on here. But I am using Visual Studio, so I'm expecting to use the full power of Visual Studio. One way to do it is to go and try and attach to the correct instance of the application. We are running this client side, so you would need to look at connecting to Internet Explorer, but it's not as straightforward as connecting to one of them. You'll need to find out where it's been running, the scripts are running, it's way too much effort. So what I do in a situation like this is I simply copy that URL, and set this as the startup URL for the project. Doing this, Visual Studio will take care of attaching debuggers and all that kind of stuff, and simply allow me to run this project, and it will open up the correct place for me, and there the debuggers are, and I can go through, step through this, have a look at the properties and so forth. Okay, now I'm going to just make a few changes here to our code. Okay, I've made some changes to our HTML and our TypeScript file. If I run this guy now, you will notice that of the changes that I made is I took away the existing headings and I put in the work item searcher, put some input boxes and some content. This will open up the browser for me, but you'll notice that the old stuff is still there. Now, I found always going to be a caching issue somewhere along the line. So what you do in this situation is F12 tools, go to your network, and this little button here, clear the cache, just that is your friend. Hit that guy, refresh, and there is our new form. If I put in a work item ID, it will go and just dump the contents of the REST service response out onto the page. So we now have our very elaborate extension that will provide endless amount of business value to the end user. Now we want to release our minimum viable product and carry on as we carry on working on the next version or the improved version of this extension. To do this, we will look at our manifest. What I like to do here is, this is the manifest that I've been using in my dev environment. So I'll make a copy of that guy and call it deployment manifest. Deploy. For ease of use here, I'll go and add another grunt task and just say, just package my new deploy manifest. Give it the command a name that I'll be able to differentiate with. And there we go. Opening up this guy, first of all, because we are going to publish it now, we want to get rid of this base URI, or alternatively, put in the base URI to a location where we have published the JavaScript and the HTML and CSS files, either on Azure or somewhere else. If we remove this, we are now going to be publishing this into VSDS. For that to work, these files here need to be correct. So this will include all the files that will be packaged with this extension. If I do this and this task that we've just created, let me just change the version number to say this is version 1. And this is no longer a dev instance. Let's run this. You'll see it creates a v6 file for us. If I open this guy up, this is just a zip file, so we can go and look through it. You'll notice in the scripts folder, there's all the files that is in our scripts folder through Visual Studio. So that is including our JS files, our maps, our TypeScript files. Now, these things are not necessary to run. We only need the JavaScript files in this instance. And of course, when you start adding more and more functionality, more and more TypeScript files, that will get bigger and bigger. So we need to be cognizant of what we are packaging with this. So in this case, I'll review these files and the CSS. I can package all of that. That's fine. Images, that's fine. But the scripts here, I will only add what I need to make this thing run. So in this case, I'll need the app.js. I'll add the greeter. And finally, I'll add our SDK. And that should do the trick. If I remove this now and rerun this, you'll notice our script files is a lot cleaner and a lot neater. Okay, so now I've got the deployment file and I'm only packaging what is needed. I want to take this and deploy this into the market. I can go the old route of saying, go to our publisher. Upload it here manually if you wanted to. Upload it manually, share it, and then install it. But I can also automate this task. So if I go to my grunt task here, you'll see there is a publish task already set up for us. I'm going to copy this guy. Say publish deploy, and point it to the correct manifest. You'll notice it already asks us here, do you want to share it with anyone? Obviously, if you have got a public extension, you won't share it with anyone because it will be public. In this case, this is not public, so I do want to share it with specific accounts. And then the token. This token here, when we are logged into our account and we go to our profile, and go to our security, You'll see here we can generate PATs or personal access tokens. Now, to do this, I'll simply go and add a new one. Give it a descriptive name. The accounts, I need to say all accessible accounts, even though you only have one to scope it to account, you need to have all accessible accounts here. And then I can go and simply say you are only, this access token is only allowed to publish to the market. When I create this, it will give me a token here. This token is similar to a password. Okay, you do not want to share this token. In this case, you are seeing it. You can write it down. I will be revoking this as soon as I'm done here, so it will become defunct. But once again, do not share this. This is like a password. This gives whoever has this token access and rights as you have selected there. What I can do now is go in here, change this to the token, go to our task runner and simply say run that task. What it will do now is it will go and find the deploy manifest, package the deployment v6 for us, and then go ahead and publish it into the marketplace, and in this case install it into that account for us. And there we go. If I go back to our accounts here, you'll notice there is our version one that we published. What I would generally do now is simply go and say, rename this guy to explicitly define the difference between your dev environment and your published environment. Go and update this publish with token and this is strictly not necessary because you've already shared it, but we'll do it in any case. And I can run this guy here. And there you go. If we go in here and refresh this, you'll see we have a distinction between our production instance and our dev instance. Okay, so here's some links to Chutzpah if you are interested in it. You can simply go and download the VS package or extension from here, and there it is, the code for you. I hope you gained some value out of this session. If you have any further questions or suggestions on future VSTS extension brown bags, please feel free to contact either myself or Willie, Peter, or Anisha from the ALM Rangers. Thank you very much.